Amen. Thank you so much, Aaron. If you are a parent, man, please have your child in our rush. They're doing some great things there. Well, it's good to see you guys this morning. Again, if you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance. I serve as a lead pastor here at Bethel. This is my lovely wife, Dee. Dee's going to be speaking with me today. So give Dee a big hand clap. We're in this series entitled Marriage, A Lifelong Love Affair. Woo! And as we begin today, first off, I just want to say something to those who might be in the room who may have gone through a divorce. You know, we talked some about this last week, and sometimes as you've gone through a divorce, it's very difficult to listen to a marriage series. But I want Bethel to be a place, because when you walk through that, a lot of times there's a lot of guilt and shame and condemnation that you face. And I don't want you to feel like that you have to run from a place like Bethel if you've gone through something like that. We want this to be a place that you can run to, because there's a lot of things that happen to our heart when we go through those things. And so I want you to know up front that as we talk about marriage, as we talk about the importance of marriage, don't feel condemned. The Bible says that there is grace for every single one of us, no matter what has happened. God is a graceful God. He's a loving God. He's not mad at you. He's not upset at you. He loves you. But I do agree, if you've gone through something like that, that you want to see other couples really succeed in their marriage so they don't have to face some of the same things you face. This is why we talk about marriage here at Bethel, because it means a lot to us, especially in this community. This community needs godly marriages, people they can look at and say, you know what, marriage can really be a lifetime. It really can last. Amen? And so as we get into this, I just want to give you a couple of some marriage couples that see what married couple you kind of relate to the most, you and your husband or you and your wife. I have some pictures of some couples on screen for you today. What about David Beckham and Victoria? Now, is your marriage like Beckham and Victoria? Are you flashy and cool? Do you have a flashy and cool marriage? Or are you like Prince William and Kate? Elegant and classy. Does that describe who you are, your marriage? Or are you like Phil and Kay? Phil and Kay, redneck and spiritual. Is that you? I mean, that's probably a lot of people in Clarksville, Pastor Richard. What about Bill and Melinda Gates? Are you smart and rich? Well, maybe not the rich part, but maybe the smart. Or are you like Will and Jada Smith? Are you popular and hip? So as you think about your marriage, which one are you? Pastor Richard said his dream is to be Prince William and Kate, but him and Shannon are more like Phil and Kay, redneck and spiritual. And so it might be a combination. You have to kind of put some of these two together. Mm-hmm. Which one are we, babe?
I'm Kate. Who are you?
Kate? I don't know. I want to be Will Smith. He's the coolest looking dude ever.
He's pretty cool looking.
He's black. I've always wanted to be black, but he's...
This is true. It's true.
So how do we... Really what we're going to focus on today is really becoming the dream that your spouse is looking for. This is going to be fun. Becoming the dream that your spouse is looking for. Because let's just be honest with one another. They have some expectation. Husband, you have expectations of what you want the wife to do. Wives, you have a lot of expectations of, I'm sorry, not a lot. You have expectations of what you want to see from the husband. And it's our responsibility to fulfill, be the dream that our spouse is looking for. So, and also in doing that, that really does affair-proof your marriage. See, a lot of us need to turn, a lot of us will say, that'll never happen to me. Affairs come out of nowhere. And we can't be prideful and think that and say that, well, that'll never happen to my marriage. And I'm this and she's that. Or No. We all got to be very humble and say, you know what, this can happen to anybody, any of us. And so we want to do everything that we can to become this dream that our spouse is looking for. You know, if you could line up, babe, 100 people in the room, whether it's men and women, I believe two things would happen.
Yep. First, you wouldn't have to think long about what they are.
I'm sorry, I didn't finish my thing. If you line two people up, 100 people, 100 men, 100 women, and ask them, what is your dream husband, dream wife? Go ahead. Find two things.
You wouldn't have to think about it for long. You'd know exactly what you were thinking. And the second one would be that both all the women would have the same answer and all the men would have the same answer.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you line up 100 men, most of the answers would be exactly the same. I need this, this, and this. Women, you'd say the exactly same thing. I need this, this, this is what I'm looking for. So I just want you to take just 30 seconds here and think. What, if I'm a husband, what is my wife looking for? Like, what does she want? What is the dream husband? Husbands, you do the same thing. I mean, wives, you do the same thing. What is your husband? What is the thing that he is looking for? For instance, I'll give you an example. Like, most women would say they need a husband to communicate, wouldn't they? Women, come on, this is going to be a great message for you ladies. You're going to say a lot of amens in this message. Men, what is yours? The D&I, as we begin to think, we really came up with four basic needs for men and women. And we believe that you would have these on your list. And we're going to talk about two of those. I'm going to give you all four, and we're going to talk about two today, and we're going to talk about two next week. So women, number one, women need security. They need to feel nurtured, cherished, and loved. Ladies, is this true? This is what you need. Thank you. Men, what do you need? You need to feel honored and respected. This is huge. We're going to focus on this a lot. Number two, women, you need communication. We just said that. You need your husband to communicate. Men, you might not think about it like this, but you need friendship. You need a wife that enjoys some of the same hobbies or doing some of the same things you like to do. We're going to focus on that too today. Number three, women, you need affection. You need non-sexual intimacy and care. Come on, we're going to talk a lot about that next week. Men, you need sexual intimacy. We're going to talk about that next week. Number four, women need leadership. And number four for men need domestic support, meaning that men need to know that the home is taken care of. The home is nice, my kids are taken care of. Not to mean you have to be a stay-at-home mom. It just means that every husband needs to know that the home is going to be taken care of. Whether the wife's a stay-at-home mom or she has a job just like the husband does. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to break these two things down. So today we're going to start with the men. Is that okay, ladies? We're going to start with what the men need. So we're going to get on you just for a moment. Don't worry, we'll get on the men here in a moment. So number one, men need to feel honored and respected, babe.
That's a big one.
That is.
Mm-hmm. There is no way a man can truly be happy in a marriage unless he feels honored and respected. So basically, women, what that means is you'll never be what your husband desires or your marriage to be desired until you learn how to honor and respect him. Men gravitate to places where they feel honored and respected. That's why men really most of the time love their job, because they feel honored and respected in what they do. They feel like they're good at what they do.
Yeah, good.
But they run from places that tear them down and make them feel disrespected.
Ladies, this is so true. You want your man to be the husband, the whatever he does at his job, to succeed, to be a great dad. I'm telling you, this is where it all starts, ladies. It starts with honor and respect. Now, the thing is that this thing takes some time. But ladies, one of the things you need to understand is that you have a God-given power in you to transform your husband by the way you speak to him and by the way you treat him, to become the husband that you desperately dream of and desire him to be. But again, it's going to take some time. We're going to be very open and honest with you today. D has spent 14 years working on your knucklehead pastor here sitting in front of you. 14 years. It's only been the past 7 years that I've really come around the corner and started being the man of God, the husband that really God has called with my wife. See, I mean, I know she's never going to leave me. She's invested 14 years, and we're counting. I mean, that's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
A lot of work. But really, babe, as you talk about honor and respect, there's a thought that comes to the lady's mind that keeps him from doing this.
Yeah. Do you know my husband? have you met him? Have you seen him? I mean, that's what we think, right? He doesn't respect me. He doesn't show me love. He doesn't show me affection. He doesn't act like he cares for me. He's not worth respecting. Why does he deserve that? In fact, he actually just disgusts me a whole lot.
That's so true.
I don't think that about my husband. Just FYI. Maybe 14 years ago, the thought crossed my mind, but not anymore.
But that's what ladies think. Have you met my husband?
Yeah.
But see, this is where it all begins. It really begins with a word that is looked down upon in our culture when it comes to marriage, and it's like a marriage curse word. It's called the word, starts with an S. Does anybody know it? Submission. Ladies, this is where it all begins. It really does. It all begins with understanding this word submission. You know, Ephesians 5:22 says that the wife, what, should submit to her husband as she submits to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. So a great way to look at this, ladies, in a very godly and biblical way is, okay, if I'm supposed to submit to my husband as to the Lord, then, okay, how do I submit to Jesus? How do I submit to my Savior? Well, the way you submit to Jesus, what, you give your everything. Yep. You give up the good, the bad, and the ugly. You give him everything. And so in light of what Christ has done, in the light of what my response to what he's done for me, I in turn, I know this is tough, do for my husband, no matter what he does or does not do. And this all starts really desiring not to get something from him, but really with the desire to please the Lord. Sorry, but I got a little ahead of us, but it really comes, ladies, that I'm not desiring to get something from my husband. So I'm not doing this to get something from. I'm doing this because, man, I fear God. I want to please the Lord. So, babe, you can talk about a little bit about submission.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, ladies, we have to answer to Jesus. We're not answering our spouses or our friends. We have to answer to Jesus for our response, right? Our response is our responsibility. And so I'm sure there's some of you, both male and female, sitting here today that are thinking, there's no way, I'm not submitting to that. He doesn't deserve to be submitted to. But at the end of the day, it's not about what he does for you,
but it's
about what Christ did for you.
Yes.
And in light of that, right, it's what Christ did for us on the cross. So if we can keep that in our minds, we love our husbands, we honor them, we respect them, we do for them, we serve them because we love them, because Christ loves us. That's how that works. And so if you can keep that in mind, sometimes it'll help, because they are knuckleheads sometimes. They're not always easy to live with. And it's painful. But really, do you think when Jesus died on the cross that it wasn't painful?
And if he
can go to that extreme for us, then we can certainly show Jesus honor by doing what he commanded us to do and respecting our husbands.
I mean, Dee, when it comes to Dee, she fears God, and so she wants to be pleasing to the Lord. And so she looks at me sometimes and says, well, I don't want to, but yet because Christ, because of who you are, because of my heart for you, I'm going to lay down my life because that's what you're asking me to do. And again, I want you to understand, we're not talking about being an abusive relationship. Sure. There's different steps that we take if abuse is going on. So again, we're not talking about that. But what we are talking about is that when you fear God, there is a delayed on your investment.
Yes.
Ladies, when you fear the Lord, oftentimes there is a delayed return on an investment that you're making as a wife. It takes men longer sometimes to come around the corner. So practically, okay, so we understand that we need to. So what is that practically? How do I practically do that? Because, babe, I'm sure the ladies are saying, I believe that every woman in here wants to honor God.
Yes.
And every woman in here wants to have a great marriage. But practically, how does that happen?
I think it's by praising them instead of tearing them down. You can't tear them down with your words, with your thoughts, and with your actions. And I mean, for me, that's challenging because I'm not great at that. And so you have to really work harder. But that's something that men need. They need to be praised. They need to feel good about themselves. They need to think that they're the king of the home, that's what they are in your eyes. And so you've got to make sure you constantly praise them.
I'm telling you, ladies, this is huge for men. This is huge for your husband. See, your husband is still like, some of us have sons, and we know our sons like to, what, show our muscles and say, hey, feel my, we grow up, we want to do the exactly same thing for a while. Hey, baby, feel my muscle. I'm always asking Dee, hey, baby, do I still have muscles like I did when you first met me? And she always gives us what we call a faith lie and says, yeah, baby, you look just as great as you did in college, just a little less hair. But I'm so thankful for that because I need encouragement. I need praise. Women, your husband needs you to tell him how great he is.
Yes.
Even if he is not so great.
Yeah.
Even if he has put on some pounds. Mm-hmm. Even if he has lost all of his hair. He needs to hear how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
It builds him up.
Yeah.
It gives him confidence.
Yeah.
He needs your encouragement. What that does, it makes your husband want to come home.
Yes.
Because again, men flee from places of disrespect. We flee from places where we don't feel honored. We run to places where we feel honored and respected. Mm-hmm. And so when you set that type of environment in your home, number one, it's going to be great for your marriage, your kids, if you have children. It's going to be great for your children to honor and respect. I'm just telling you, your husband and you, ladies, you just don't do it enough. Yep. And maybe it doesn't come natural. But, babes, help us, help the ladies. What can they do? Sometimes it's through text. Sometimes it's
I think you just have to be practical. You have to remind yourself. You have to think. You have to just think about it. Like, you have to think about planning your dinner meals.
Like, you don't have enough to think about already.
Right. Add it to your list. Say something nice to my husband today. Tell him how great of a husband he is. Tell him thank you. No, seriously. I mean, sometimes I'll just text him and say, thank you for working so hard to provide for our family. You know, thank you for putting the kids to bed. I mean, it's the small things that really go a long way.
It's just supporting his decisions. Yeah. Even though you may think this is not a good decision, now I'm not talking about something that's drastic, something that this is not a good decision, but yet I want to be supportive of my husband. And I know this is not going to end well, but yet I'm going to honor and respect my husband, and I'm going to support him. That's huge for your husband, to know that he has your support. Yeah. See, honor and respect, praising him, submitting. What it does, ladies, it's a key that really unlocks his heart. And it really is a key that begins to transform him into the husband that you desperately desire and need. You have so much power, ladies. You have power. It can be used negatively, but it also can be used in a very positive way. So, ladies, that means we can't what? We can't emasculate them.
Yep.
That comes easy for us. Not easy, I'm sorry, easy for ladies. They easily can get negative and begin to speak down to their husbands, disagree with their decisions. You're an idiot. That's stupid. Those are not good words to use. I know it's funny, we watch it on television. One of the great shows my wife and I love to watch is, it's an old show, but everybody loves Raymond. She calls him an idiot all the time. It's funny then, but it's not funny in real life. It's not funny when your husband hears you call him an idiot. Yeah. Stupid. That's a dumb decision. He needs to hear you praise him. So what's a great thing the wife can do, baby? Simply what? Just
ask him, am I being disrespectful? Have I done something to be disrespectful? I mean, it sounds so hard, right? That's all I have to do? Yeah. Just communicate about it. Just ask him, have I been disrespectful? And if I have, how can I change that? How can I change my words to be more respectful, where at least it comes off more respectful? I know for me, I come off disrespectful, not intentionally, not meaning to, and I have to kind of go back and say, okay, this is what I meant. This is how it needed to go. And so then we can work it out. But just simply ask the question, am I being disrespectful, and how can I change that?
Dee, when she talks, she gets, especially if it's like we're in an intense conversation, she gets very passionate and she gets in her high voice. And I got to tell her, say, honey, you're in your high voice. You're disrespectful.
But I'm just in my high voice because I'm passionate about what we're talking about.
You're right.
Not because I'm being disrespectful, but that's how he receives it.
But that's how I receive it. So ladies, ask, am I in any way being disrespectful? In any way am I dishonoring you? And then close your mouth, which I know is hard. Close your mouth and sit there and listen. Listen what he has to say. Write it down. Make an effort to do those things that bring honor and respect. I mean, again, you're going to transform him into the dream that you desire to be with.
Yep.
All right, so we killed the ladies and those. Let's kill the men now, all right? All right, so women need security. Now, here's one of the biggest problems in marriage. One of the biggest problems in marriages is the man can be so unaware of how bad the marriage actually is. I remember when Dee and I, when we came to Clarksville, building the church, things were going great. Man, I thought, man, this is the greatest thing ever. Church is going well. Church is growing. My marriage is going well. When the whole time, my wife was dying on the inside, and I didn't have a clue. Man, so many times we think things are going great, and our wife is saying, this is awful. This is miserable. She's dying on the inside. And the reason why I thought like this is because I never took the time to simply stop and ask a very simple question. Mm-hmm. Babe, how do you feel about the way things are going? This is great. The things that we're talking about, these are not some new revelations to you guys. But we don't ever take the time, fellas, to stop and say, honey, how do you feel about the way things are going? How do you feel about our relationship? Men, understand that most women, and probably your wife, is hurting on the inside.
Yes.
Most women have been wounded, even by a past relationship, either by you, but yet God in his sovereignty has placed you in this marriage and given you a great gift called your wife. She's a blessing to bring healing to the wounds that your wife has in her soul. See, a lot of women in this room, you feel like you're fighting alone. You feel like, is anything going to change in this marriage, in this relationship? Is it always going to be like this? Ladies, our wives are dying. They're hurting on the inside. And they're looking to you as their rescuer, as their savior, to come and bring healing to the wounds that they have. But most of us men, we're so unaware of that because we don't take the time to ask. And we leave our wife all alone to battle the emotional wounds that she faces. We leave her all by ourselves. And so what happens, whether we know it or not, is she begins to wave the white flag and she gives up. She says, I guess it's always going to be like this. Nothing's ever going to change. I guess I'm just going to have to live like this all of my lives. Mm-hmm. See, men, we're just too busy, aren't we? We got our hobbies. We got our fantasy football teams. We got our job. We got kids. I mean, when in the world am I going to have time to stop and ask her any questions? And all the while, our wife is dying on the inside. Men, you want to know what marriage is all about? Your wife carries your last name. Let me just wake you up for a moment. That is a huge responsibility. That means you're responsible for meeting every need that she has. You, knucklehead. Not me as her pastor, not her friend. You are responsible for meeting every single need that she has. Every need. And some of you, I'll just be honest with you, your wife should have left you a long time ago. Now, we don't believe in divorce, but she should have separated from your sorry tale a long time ago. But yet, in God's grace, somehow, some way, she's there. It's a miracle that my wife is still sitting here right beside me. If you could rewind the tape, sorry I'm going too long, babe, but if you could rewind the tape 8 years ago, you would find a woman that was tired, that was worn out, that was sick of me and my attitude. And I'm Pastor Lance. Lord, have mercy. I was awful at leading my wife and loving her the way she deserved to be loved. Men, our wives are tired of fighting alone. Yeah. Ladies, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
They're tired. They want you to be who God has called you to be, to reach down and to rescue them, to be the man that God has called you to be. You can do it, man of God. You can do it. See, your wife, her emotional state, her physical state is a reflection of your leadership, of your leadership. Read that verse, babe. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7.
It says, man is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man.
Wow. I mean, she's the reflection, husband, of your leadership. So women need security. What does that mean, babe? Women need security. Sorry, I skipped on down right here.
Yeah, I see that now. They need to know that their most basic needs are being taken care of emotionally, physically, financially, and they need to feel nurtured, cherished, and loved.
These are words we're afraid of, babe. I'm sorry. Emotional. I mean, that just scares a man half to death. Emotional. We don't need to do that. We just need to get it done. I mean, we're good. So these are the things, men, again, let's be honest, we're not good at. So it's okay to turn to your wife and say, honey, I stink at those. Please help me. So, babe, help the men in here. What does it mean practically to meet emotional needs?
They need to know that they can trust you. They need to know that you're faithful. They need to know that when they leave in the morning and come home, that they're going to be faithful while they're gone. They need to know that you're not looking around at anybody else. They need to, and they need to show you this. People say, well, you just know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean. You gotta tell me, you gotta show me. And so it's complimenting in a non-sexual way, which men have a really hard time doing that.
We're getting better at that as men.
Are you? All of you or you?
I am. I'm just
you probably should speak in faith for the rest of your brothers.
I'm believing for him. I'm believing for him. Men, do you compliment your wife? Again, this brings security. Do you know, man, one of the worst things you can ever do is not notice that your wife got a haircut. I mean, that's just awful. That is horrible.
Very, very bad.
When your wife gets a haircut, changes her hair color, I mean, notice, say something. That looks good, honey. I mean, that's that easy. I mean, it would just, that would please her so much if you just make one little comment. It's like, man, you noticed? Do you notice when she gets her nails done? How she looks in maybe an outfit? Maybe she's trying to lose weight. You know how difficult that is for women? Compliment her, encourage her. Babe, you're doing a great job. Just as you need praise, she also needs praise. Be in tune with her. Do you hear what she's trying to tell you? Talk to her. Listen to her. Ladies, again, your husband is not very smart. You're going to have to look at him. Because, again, what do you think? You think that, why do I got to tell him all of this?
It's true.
You just have to. I'm sorry. You're going to have to say, okay, emotionally, this is what you do. Ladies, that's how you're going to have to talk to your husband. This is what you do. Men, and you say, okay. And remember, be patient, ladies. It takes some time. Financially, is there a will in place? If you, lo and behold, pass away, are things in order where your wife can continue on, especially if you have babies? All right, number two, for men. Let's look at the men now. Number two, men need friendship. Yeah. Friendship. Women often bond through communication. Mm-hmm. Men bond through doing things. So, ladies, this means that you might have to be interested in something you're not very interested in. My wife hates sports. I mean, she hates it. And so she has done such a great job of trying to be interested in something I'm interested in. It's because when a woman says, I don't like that, what a man hears is, I don't like you, or I don't like being with you.
Is that a warped way to think or what? Because you don't like his show, he thinks you don't like him.
It's the truth. Men, I'm just keeping it real up here, trying to help you. So, what does that mean, babe? Find things in common, right?
Yes, find things in common. Whatever it is that you like to do together. And you know what? I mean, it's both parts. Lance does not like to watch So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, God, I hate it.
He does.
American Idol.
Okay, but I love it.
Oh, it's awful.
Right? So if I have to endure golf every day.
Well, hold on. Let me defend something. Hold on.
Whoa. It's
golf is such a great conversational piece. See, this is what ladies don't understand.
Anyways.
You can turn it down. You can still have a conversation and watch at the same time.
Unless his favorite golfer is up to the hole. Right? Honey, listen, that is a great theory that you have. And in some situations, that works.
Gosh, that's
true. But listen, how great this thought is.
Okay, go.
When we're watching So You Think You Can Dance.
That's awful.
Wait.
Okay.
All I want you to do is sit beside me. You don't have to comment. You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to interact with me. What I'm saying is, I'm not asking you to do anything but engage in something that I like. And every once in a while, he does. So it's learning to adapt.
I can make it about 10 minutes and I get up.
That's how I feel about golf.
Yeah.
But you know what? We understand that about each other. And so we find a couple of things that we have in common. We're very boring. We like to sit on the couch and watch TV at night. That's what we like to do, or go to the movies. We're pretty boring people. However, it's just the point is, it's finding something that you can do with your spouse that you're both interested in. And even if you're not, you fake it till you make it. You do it. You just do it, because
exactly right.
That's how you build a strong marriage.
We're going to talk more about that next week. Talk about friends too, babe. Talk about friends.
Yes. Friends are so important to have, guys. I mean, when Lance and I first got married, and probably everybody understands this, your first year of marriage, it's all about the two of you. You don't really want to have your friends that you had before. They're all single. They don't understand anything you're going. Then you have a baby, then they really don't understand. But the key is, you really need married couple friends. Like, it's important to be able to go on double dates and hang out and glean from other couples, older, younger, however you want to do it. We have all kinds in our life, and we're thankful for that. And as much as that's important, it's also extremely important that women have women friends and men have men friends. For example, good. I don't want to talk about golf, but he does. So go and talk to Dr. Helton about golf, and I'm going to go talk to my friends about the things that I like. And that's okay. It's okay as long as they're healthy relationships, good. As long as they're men and women in your life that are encouraging you to make good choices, not leave your husband because he's a thug, not leave your husband because he's a loser. But you know what? Let's pray for him. Let's pray that God gets a hold of his heart. And the same way for men. I mean, you know what? Men are stepping up to the plate these days, and they're encouraging other men. Let's fight for what, you know, let's stand in the gap. So making good choices, having good friends, not friends that are going to, you know, cause you to go in the wrong direction.
And then have couple friends, too, that you can hang out with. They're going to influence you and your marriage. All right, now last thing for women here. Number two, women. What do women need? Women need communication. All right,
my
men.
My favorite.
This is awful. We're awful at this. Men and women, we communicate very differently. Women communicate a lot. Men communicate not at all. So there's a huge difference in communication. You know, again, this was a tension for Dee and I, especially when we first got married. I was very immature. I was just not a good husband. And so she wanted to be a part of my life, and so she would call me throughout the day and ask me what I thought was the dumbest question ever. What are you doing? I'm thinking, what do you think I'm doing, woman? I'm at work. I'm working. Why are you calling me?
Like I wasn't.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
Showing your slip up here. But it was a tension for us. I didn't want to tell her what I was doing. I'm like, this is a waste of time. I got stuff to do. But then I began to realize it's just simply her wanting to be a part of my life.
I think that was the key. You know, men have jobs, women have jobs. Some of us are stay at home, some of us are working. But for me, it was just a way to be a part of his life. If I don't, you know, I'm not here, he is. I'm not here. I don't know what goes on. If he doesn't tell me, how am I supposed to know? Am I supposed to depend on the secretary to call me and tell me everything? No. I want him to communicate his life. I want him to share his life. And that's finally what it broke down to was, I don't really care what you're doing. I don't really care who you see or where you're going. I want you to share your life with me. So if I call and say, hey, can you just, you know, what are you doing? Then just say, I'm sitting here looking at Joe. Okay, great. Let's move on. But at least he's sharing and he's connecting with me. And I don't feel like I'm left out. I want us to have one unit. I don't want him to have a life at work and a life at home. You know, I wanted to be connected to that part of his life. It's important.
So men, when you come home, just get, I mean, prepare yourself. All right, I'm going to have to talk. Now, some of you guys do some things. We can't talk about everything. We understand that. But, you know, begin to prepare yourself when you go home. You know what? I'm going to set time aside. For Dee and I, it is when it's time to go to bed because we have 5 kids. And usually bedtime, we don't have a TV in our room. Again, whatever you choose to do, it's up to you. But for us, it was when we go to bed, we're going to engage one another in conversation. Yep. For some reason, I do believe, this is one of my theories. Again, I realize they're not held up very well. But one of my other theories is men do communicate better when they're laying with their wife. They just do. They open up more. And so this is a time for us that we are able to communicate with each other.
Non-sexually communication.
Non-sexual communication, yes.
That's what we're talking about today.
Another thing that we do is around the table, we probably eat dinner 3 nights a week together with our family. And so we go around the room, we allow everybody to kind of communicate about what their day was like. So all the kids go around, they communicate, and then Dee and I talk about what our day. It just helps build that communication within our family. Men love our love language. We hear that a lot. What is that? That's another way of communicating with your wife. Robbie, you can come on up. Men, this is a big deal for our wife. This is a huge deal. A lot of times when Pastor Richard and I or others are talking to married couples, it's usually the thing that comes from their wife is what? He's not listening. He's not communicating. That's usually the number one thing. It's not, he's not making enough money, he's not, it's usually none of that. It's usually, he's not communicating, he's not listening. And so, men, this is huge for us. See, again, your responsibility, men, in marriage, this is really the definition of marriage, is your responsibility is to fulfill the full, bring out the full potential in your wife. Now, this is a huge role. That's what marriage is all about. God has given you, husband, you are the leader. We're going to talk more about that next week, but you are the head of the home. It's your responsibility to bring out the full godly potential in your wife. Not to get a better job, not to make money. Praise God if we do that. But ultimately, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you, how much money did you make, Lance? Hey, man, how big of a church did you have? He could care less about that. He's going to look at me and say, did you do everything you could to bring out the full potential in your wife? Everything. Man, that's a scary question. Because that means what? As a husband, I got some work to do. And it means the same thing for her. She's got some work to do. So a lot of this goes home, these things, first two things we talked about, and just asking one another, hey, honey, how can I make you feel secure? How can I meet your emotional needs? Hey, how can I honor and respect you? Hey, how can I communicate your language? How can I speak to you? Hey, how can we be better friends? What can we do together? It's just talking. The things we're talking about are all things. They're not something we can't. This is all things that every single one of us in this room can do with our spouse. Amen? It's just having a heart to say, God, this is a gift that I have. It's not a curse. I'm not stuck. It's a gift that I have. And I'm going to begin to treat it. Some of y'all need to repent to one another. That's the first, and say, I'm sorry for the way I've treated you. I've not treated you the way that I should have treated you. I've been looking out for me and mine, and I am sorry. But we're going to see this thing turned around. God, help us. Lord, today I pray for every